I want to turn with you this morning to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 3. And we're reading at verse 1 through to verse 10. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through to 10. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. We know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his holy truth. We'll come again this morning to this little series on Moses. We started it way back in February, and then I wasn't here on the month of March, and Easter came, and here we are this morning in the middle of April, and we're coming now to our third message on Moses. You remember how that God raised up Moses at a time when Israel was suffering greatly at the hand of Pharaoh in Egypt. Remember how that the Israelites, the children of Israel, were fruitful and they were increasing and multiplying so much that Pharaoh began to be afraid, and he decided that he would get the midwives to kill all the babies who were boys and to save the girls. It was a kind of a cull that he was making upon the children of Israel. And there was a Hebrew couple named Amram and Jochebed, and God gave them a little baby boy, and when they saw that it was a goodly child, Jochebed, Moses' mother, hid him 3 months, and when she could no longer hide him, she put him in an ark of bulrushes, led him down by the river. And you remember how that Pharaoh's daughter came along, and the child, was found. And Miriam, his sister, suggested that the princess would give him to one of the Hebrew women that happened to be his mother. And she brought him up, and then Moses was taken and brought into the palace. And there he lived for quite a number of years. And then you remember that Moses took a great decision one day. Maya tells us that he decided to be no longer called. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, rather suffering affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And you remember when he tried to intervene in an argument between an Egyptian and one of his own people, that he killed the Egyptian, and the thing got out and Pharaoh got angry, and Moses fled down to Midian and came into this household where he looked after the sheep and became a shepherd of his father-in-law's sheep. Chapter 2 ends by telling us that the children of Israel sighed because of their bondage, and God heard their groaning and remembered his covenant with their fathers. Chapter 3 begins with Moses in Midian working as a shepherd. 40 years have passed since he left Egypt and came to Midian to work as a humble shepherd. And of course it was in the great sovereign plan of God that God had preserved and brought up Moses. And my Moses was the man that God was going to use to lead this people out of Egypt. So we haven't heard from Moses for the past 40 years because God was preparing him for service. Verse 1 says, "And Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb." God led Moses to the backside of the desert. I'm sure that maybe you've heard that phrase expressed, the backside of the desert. And when we use that term, we're thinking about a place which is out of the road, a place of desolation, a place, my, where there's not a big population. This was a place that Moses was led to equip him for the work that God had for him in the future. And I believe it's a place that every servant needs to come to. Matters not how well we're educated or prepared. Matters not how much gift or talent we may have. The backside of the desert is a place where we get alone with God. Dear friends, it's a place of isolation where you're away from the attractions and the temptations and the allurements of the world. It's a place where you're alone with God. I wonder, do you have time alone with God in your daily schedule? Have you time to be alone with God, or have you no time to be alone with God? Because I believe, friends, if we're going to hear the voice of God, if we're going to know the will of God for our own lives, then we need to spend time alone with God. It was a place of isolation. It was a place of preparation. It was a place of communion. It's the place of getting to know God. Getting to know God. We need to get alone with God so that we might get to know God. Christianity is not about knowing about God. Many people know about God. It's getting to know God. Paul longed that I might know him. The Bible says that the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. My late H.H. Orr, who was a very respected pastor in Baptist circles many years ago, he said that the life of Moses, the first 40 years, was spent in the house of Pharaoh, the palace of Pharaoh, learning to be something. And then he went down to Midian and spent 40 years there learning to be nothing. And dear friends, that's a great lesson to learn for any of us. So many people want to be something and become something. But if we're going to serve the Lord, we need to learn to be nothing. That we are nothing. And he said the third 40 years was spent in the wilderness learning that God was everything, depending upon him. And if we're going to serve the Lord effectively, this is the place we need to come to. And so we see here in this first verse, Moses on the mountain. Moses on the Mount of God, even Horeb. And then we see the mystery on the mountain, because it says that the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. I'm sure that Moses had seen many a bush burning before, but this one was different. It was not consumed. Fire consumes. Fire had turned bushes before to rubble and to ashes, but as he looked at this bush on the mountain, the bush burned, but it was not consumed. The fire had no effect upon it. That was the mystery. We see the man on the mountain, and we see the mystery on the mountain. And we see here the manifestation on the mountain, because out of the midst of this burning bush, God revealed himself to Moses. And in verse 6, he says, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Before God sent Moses on this great task, he was showing him his power and his glory. He was bringing Moses to the place of getting to know his God. You know, at that very time, when God appeared to Moses out of the burning bush, the Hebrews were suffering in the iron furnace of Egypt. But you know, no matter how fiercely the fires of persecution burned against them for 40 years, they had not been consumed. And the reason they had not been consumed was because God was in the midst of his people. God was showing to Moses, he was speaking to him out of this burning bush that burned with fire, but it was not consumed. God was in it, and God was showing Moses that just as his people were in the fires of affliction in Egypt, that he was in the midst of them, that he was with them. You remember back in chapter 1, as we read about how Pharaoh afflicted them, it says, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. The more suffering they had to endure, the more persecution they went through, the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. You see, friends, we see this right throughout the scriptures. God was in the midst of the furnace when the three Hebrew children was there. He preserved them. In the early church, there was great persecution against the early church. And yet the church multiplied and grew because God was in the midst of his people. And we see this in the nation of Israel right down through the centuries. God was in the midst of them. God was with them, and God preserved them and kept them. My dear friends, God, while the Lord is in our midst, the light will never stop burning. And the fire will never stop burning in the heart of the Church of Jesus Christ. This was a day, an experience that Moses never forgot for the rest of his life. This was a day that had an effect upon Moses for the rest of his life. This was a day that helped Moses as he led the people in the wilderness, as they faced problems, as he faced difficulty, as he was attacked by the enemy. This was a day that helped Moses to go on through the wilderness for 40 years because he knew that God was with him. God was teaching him here on this mountain that he was in the midst. And what a help it was to Moses. On the mountain, we see Moses at the burning bush. That's what we're thinking about this morning. You know, at the burning bush, what did Moses learn? What did he see? At the burning bush, there was a realization of the presence of God. A realization of the presence of God. Moses realized that God was in the midst. He realized that he was in the presence of God. He was conscious of the presence of God. This was a mountain top experience in the life of Moses. And you see, you and I can have that same experience that Moses had. Because God has promised to be in the midst of his people. The Lord Jesus Christ said that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And you know, friends, there's more than two or three here this morning. And the Lord has given us his word, given us his promise that he is in our midst. But the thing is, are we conscious of his presence? God is here. We often sing in the hymn and that to bless us. But are we conscious of his presence? Are you conscious of his presence? Am I conscious of his presence? When we turn over a page or two, we find God directing Moses about the building of the tabernacle in the wilderness. And in chapter 25 of Exodus, chapter 25, the Lord speaks to Moses and he says, Speak to the children of Israel that they may bring an offering. Every man that giveth it willingly with his heart shall ye take an offering. And he outlines some of the things they had to bring. And verse 8 says this, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And that sanctuary was the tabernacle. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And if you look at the outline of the tabernacle in the wilderness, you'll find that there were three tribes on the south. And there were three tribes on the west, and there were three tribes on the north, and there were three tribes on the east, and the tabernacle, the sanctuary, was in the midst of them. And in the tabernacle, there was the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat over which the cloud of the Shekinah glory of God above abode. And God was in the midst of them. God is in the midst. Zephaniah the prophet said, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He shall save. When John was on the Isle of Patmos and he turned to hear the voice that spake with him, being turned he saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the candlesticks one like unto the Son of Man, and the candlesticks were symbolical of the churches. The Lord is in the midst. The Lord is in the midst, friends. Moses realized that the Lord was in the midst of the bush and that he, Moses, was in the presence of God. And I say to you this morning that we need a burning bush experience. We need a burning bush experience in our lives. I need a burning bush experience in my life that I might be conscious that God is in the midst, that he's present. You need a burning bush experience in your life. The church needs a burning bush experience in its life and right throughout our land. We need God's people to have this burning bush experience that the Lord is in the midst. And that when we gather, we're gathering in the presence of God. Dear friends, when we're conscious of the Lord's presence, it will purify our lives. It will purify our lives. It'll make a whole lot of changes in our lives. At the burning bush, Moses had the realization of the presence of God. He had a revelation of the glory of God. Verse 2 says this, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst, in the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." The angel of the Lord appeared unto him. My Moses saw the glory of God that day. It was the Shekinah glory which was displayed before his very eyes, and the same glory that abode upon the mercy seat over the ark. This was not only the evidence of Jehovah's presence in Israel's midst, it was a manifest emblem of his holiness, abiding in the Holy of Holies. Moses not only had that realization that day that the Lord was in the midst, that he was in the presence of God, but he saw the holiness of God that day. He saw who God was. Verse 5. God said, "Draw not nigh thither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." Holy ground. You know, he needed to realize he was in the presence of divine holiness. And I believe, friends, that's what you and I need to realize as we come into God's presence. As we come into God's presence, my time after time and week after week, we need to realize that God's presence, we're coming into the presence of his holiness. And we come to worship him and serve him. My, we must not do these things carelessly or disrespectfully. We need to come with a sense of humility. Sense of humility. We need to take the shoes from off our feet in a figurative manner, because the ground whereon we stand is holy ground. My, Moses saw who God was. He was the covenant keeping God. He says, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." The God of Abraham was the God who chose Abraham and called him and gave him the promises. The God of Isaac was the God who brought Isaac from the dead in figure. And the God of Jacob was the God who in long suffering and patience never forsakes us. And in this threefold character he acts today. Before Moses was sent forth on this important mission, he must first behold the glory of God. The glory of his holiness. My, when Isaiah got that vision in the temple, and he said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his glory filled the temple, and the seraphims veiled their faces, they covered their faces, and they cried, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And it was then, when the challenge was made, "Whom shall I send and whom will go for us?" that Isaiah responded and he said, "Here am I, send me." My God was revealing his holiness and his greatness and power and assuring him that he was with him. At the burning bush, Moses had this realization of the presence of God and this revelation of the glory of God. And at this burning bush, we see the reverence of the servant of God. Down at the last part of verse 6, it says, "And Moses hid his face when God revealed himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." He was afraid to look upon God. You know, when Moses realized he was in the presence of God and he got this revelation of God's glory and he could see his greatness and his majesty and his awesomeness and his holiness, it brought reverence to his soul. It brought reverence to his soul. Reverence. Moses hid his face. He's afraid to look upon God. Sorry to say, friends, today we have lost this reverence. We have lost it. Yes, this is something we have lost today. Reverence for God. This is something we need to regain. A holy reverence of God. My, can you imagine being invited to meet Her Majesty the Queen? Whether it's Buckingham Palace or Windsor or at Hillsborough, wherever, can you imagine it? Wonder what way we would address her. I'm sure we wouldn't come into the Queen's presence and use casual language and say, "Hi, Elizabeth. How are you doing today?" We wouldn't address her on first name terms. We wouldn't say, "You know, my, this place is cool. This is awesome. This is cool. My, I like your pod, Elizabeth." Dear friends, we need to get back to addressing God as He should be addressed. That's what we need to get back to. I know of a situation where a young man came to church some time ago, another church, quite a distance from here, in a woolly hat with pom-pom on it, sat through the service. Then people thought he would leave. But when they started to take the cover of the Lord's table, he sat on. And it took a woman to come and speak to him at the front. When I heard the story, I wondered where all the men were. Oh, dear friends, we need to remember who's here this morning. People say, "You know, such and such was at church this morning, and such a body was here, and such a one was there." Remember this, that the Lord's here. The Lord's here. Yes. And when we come into His presence, we must give Him the honor and respect that's due His name. Worship is not to be done in a flippant way, in a disrespectable way. It's to be done honoring and glorifying the One who's holy. When we come into His presence, we're coming into the presence of the One who's divine and eternal. Over in the book of Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2, it says these words, "For the Lord, I am the Lord your God, I'm holy." That's what God says. "I, the Lord your God, I'm holy." In Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, here's what it says. "For I am the Lord your God, ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves." That is, set yourselves apart. "And ye shall be holy, for I am holy." Ye shall be holy, for I am holy. You might say to me, "Well, that was only for that time. That was only for that day, that period when that was written. I'm very sorry, but you're wrong." Because when Peter writes his first epistle, in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter uses these very words, and Peter says, "Be ye therefore holy, saith the Lord, for I am holy." Dear friends, there should be reverence in our worship, reverence in our walk, reverence in our work, and reverence in our words. The psalmist said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So here's Moses at the burning bush. What an experience it was. Because there at that burning bush, my, he was aware of the realization of the Lord, the Lord's presence. He got a revelation of the Lord's glory. We see the reverence of the Lord's servant. And we see here in verse 7, the reassurance of the word of the Lord. Verse 7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. You know, if you look at that verse slowly and carefully, the Lord speaks to Moses out of this burning bush, and what a lovely word of consolation and reassurance he gives him. Over the past 40 years, Moses must have wondered about his people back in Egypt. He must have wondered how they were getting on. And the Lord says this to them. He says this to him. He says, I have seen their affliction of my people while you're in Egypt. And he says, and I have heard. Their cry. I have seen their afflictions. I have heard their cry. For I know their sorrows. I have seen. I have heard. I know. I know about their sorrows. I have seen. I have heard. I know. And dear friends, the same can be said of you and I this morning. We have afflictions, we have sorrows, we have burdens, we have troubles. And the Lord says to you this morning, listen, I have seen, I see them. And the Lord says to you this morning, I've heard your cry. And the Lord says to you this morning, I know all about it. Ah, what a lovely word. I have seen. I have heard. I know. Ah, there's a little word way in the book of Matthew, and the Lord Jesus says this, for your heavenly Father knoweth. We have a heavenly Father, brethren and sisters, this morning. A heavenly Father who sees us. A heavenly Father who hears us. Heavenly Father, who knows all about us. You see here the reassurance, the realization of the presence of the Lord. We see the revelation of the glory of God. See the reverence of the servants of God, the reassurance of the Word of God. And finally, the reason for the call of God. Verse 8. For I am come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land unto a good and large land, unto a good land and a large flowing with milk and honey. And verse 10, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God speaking to Moses, to tell him what he is going to do and what he wants him to do. He wants him to deliver his people out of Egypt. That Moses was to be the vessel that God was going to use to do it. Moses had this burning bush experience. He saw the realization of God's presence and the revelation of his glory. And by the reassurance of his word, may we have a burning bush experience in these days. Oh, that we might be aware of God's presence, get a fresh glimpse of his glory. May we have reverence for him, and may we be reassured from day to day that we might be as Moses was and be his servant in whatever he wants us to be or do. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning.